Like this evening to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 7. Book of Luke, chapter 7, we'll read verses 36 through verse 50. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he, Jesus, went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, so he's thinking to himself, this man, speaking of Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering, keep in mind he didn't say anything, Jesus knows what he's thinking. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, so he's looking at the woman, speaking to Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hast anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven, reassuring her. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, again, none of them are speaking verbally, they're thinking to themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. We want to begin for the sake of clarity, without going into the details of such, by saying that what we have here in Luke 7, verses 36 through 50, is not to be confused with another story that has similarities, recorded by Matthew in Matthew 26, by Mark in Mark 14, and by John in John chapter 12. And even though those stories are in a different place, a different time, with different people, under different circumstances, many insist on making them the same, and they're not. In fact, if you look in the center column of your Bible, more than likely, there is a reference to Matthew, Mark, and John's account of this other event. But it is a separate event. We could go into a lot of details, but that's not the purpose of the message. Our text begins with verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him, that is Jesus, You say, well, that's a good thing that he would eat with him. It is not that this Pharisee, who we later find out is named Simon, it's not that he had any personal interest in Christ, for the Pharisees had already determined collectively that Jesus was a blasphemer, and they hated his message, and they found his message very, very irritating. And this Pharisee is no different. The thoughts of this host or Pharisee toward the person of Christ is brought out in verse 39, when he said, "This man," referring to Jesus, "if he were a prophet." So he doesn't believe that Jesus is even a prophet, let alone the Messiah. So this host is no friend of Jesus. He's really nothing more than a hypocritical enemy of Christ. Following that opening statement in verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, we have a statement of grace and mercy. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. That was very gracious of Jesus to do that. Very merciful of Jesus to do that. From verse 49, we see that there were other invited guests as well. No doubt many, if not all of them, talking about the invited guest, were Pharisees. And we read in verse 49 that they too sat at meat with him. We need to get a proper picture of this, because it's not what you and I are accustomed to when we sit down and eat a meal. First of all, they're not sitting in chairs at a table, as is our custom. There is a table, and there are around this table, there are couches. No backs, no sides, and they are elevated at the head. And upon these couches, the guest would recline with their heads toward the table and their feet away from the table. So that's the picture that we need to get. It's not as you and I would sit out in a fellowship hall on chairs. Also, it was very common when somebody had a meal like this, a dinner, for other guests to be standing along the walls. And it was also very common for people to drop in uninvited. This was just the custom. So besides Jesus and the other invited guests, there were probably others. But we know for sure that there was at least one other. In verse 37, we see, "And behold, a woman," who no doubt resided in the area, for she was known in the city. And it is specifically said that she was a sinner. In regards to this woman, we read, "And behold." And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Verse 36 does not begin with, "And behold, one of the Pharisees." But here in verse 37, "And behold," there was this woman. That word "behold," of course, is an attention-getting word. It is a word that calls upon us to focus upon something specific. In this case, this woman. To give our attention to her. To give serious thought to her. It is a word that indicates something startling. It is a word that indicates something even shocking is going to take place. It is a word that is meant to make an impression upon us. That is, what follows the word is meant to make an impression upon us. That the Pharisee invited Jesus to his house is not meant to make an impression upon us. But that this woman was there, this is meant to make an impression upon us. Now, you have the Pharisee, Simon. You have the other invited guest. And there were probably other guests who were uninvited. And we have this woman. Of all the people in that house, she has an entirely different reason for being there than all the rest. And her attitude is completely different. Her spirit is completely different than the attitude and the spirit of Simon. Notice in verse 44, he told Simon what Simon had not done, and then he said, but she. Verse 45, he again stressed what Simon failed to do, and then he said, but this woman. And then in verse 46, again he states what Simon failed to do, and he says, but this woman. So she's different three times. But this woman. So she's quite different from Simon. Now what transpired that day in that house is recorded in the verses that we've read. What happened in verse 37 through 39 is what led Christ to speak the parable of the two debtors in verses 41 and 42. And then in verses 43 through 47, Christ makes application of the parable. And in verse 48 and verse 50, Christ ministers to this woman by reassuring her. And in verse 49, we see the effect that this had upon the invited guests who were sitting around the table. That is, they were amazed that Christ would have anything to do with this woman, which was a sinner. Today, many saved individuals are looking for motivation. They're looking for reason to serve God. And what is recorded here is our motivation. Is our reason for serving the Lord. I want to speak tonight on living the life of the much forgiven. Living the life of the much forgiven. First of all, the parable that Christ spoke there in verses 41 and 42, the parable of the two debtors, is for the purpose of explaining this woman's behavior. He would also use it to rebuke Simon. But the main purpose of the parable is to explain the reason for this woman's behavior, why she did what she did. So look at the parable. What the woman did is described in verse 37 and 38, and we'll get to that in a little while. Who she was and what she did that day in the house greatly disgusted Simon the Pharisee. We see that again in verse 39. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. He's disgusted. He's disgusted at this woman's behavior. He is disgusted that Christ allowed her to do what she did. In regards to that, he speaks this parable, because in verse 40, Jesus, knowing what Simon is thinking, Jesus answering, said unto him, Simon, I have something to say unto thee. And Simon said, speak on. And then Jesus speaks the parable. In the parable, there are three characters. There is a creditor who represents God. There are two debtors who represent sinners. So you have a creditor, you have two debtors. Of these two debtors, one owed 500 pence. The other owed 50 pence. That has reference to their sin. It has reference to their sin debt. Concerning both of these debtors, we read there in verse 42, that they had nothing to pay. That is, they could not pay their debt. And the creditor, God, it says frankly, or without any strings attached, forgave or absolved them both. And then Jesus said to Simon, which of them, the two debtors, will love the creditor the most? And Simon's answer was, well, I suppose the one who was forgiven the most. And Jesus said in verse 43, thou hast rightly judged. In other words, Simon, you are correct. The one who has been forgiven the most will love the most. Then we see Jesus makes application of the parable, which also serves as an explanation of the behavior of this woman. Jesus, in his application of the parable, said to Simon, Simon, I entered into thy house. You invited me. But thou gavest me no water for my feet. In other words, Simon, you did not even show me common courtesy. It was just an act of common courtesy to wash feet. You did not do that. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. He went on to say in verse 45, thou gavest me no kiss. A kiss was a sign of affection. That is, Simon, you didn't show me any affection. But this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. And then he said in verse 46, my head with oil thou didst not anoint. That is, you showed me no special attention. You showed me no special honor. But this woman hath anointed my feet with oil. The reason for this, verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She was forgiven before she came in. She had been saved before she came in. For she loved much. In other words, what she has done shows that she has been much forgiven, and because she is much forgiven, she loves much, and because she loves me so much, she has done these things. This woman realized and felt herself much forgiven. She is referred to in our text again as a woman, which was a sinner. Verse 37. Like all of us, she was a sinner by birth. She was born guilty. She was born depraved before God. She was born in the filth and the vileness of sin. She was born in the corruption of sin. She was born under the curse and the condemnation of sin. But like the two debtors in the parable, she was under obligation, but she had nothing to offer. That's true of all sinners. She was under obligation, but she had nothing to offer. She was a sinner by birth. Being a sinner by birth, she was a sinner by practice. She lived a life of shame. She lived a life of dishonor. The very fact that she is referred to as a woman in the city which was a sinner speaks of the fact that she was a notorious sinner. People knew her. She was a sinner of notoriety. She was considered by the people to be a great sinner. She was considered by the people to be a chief sinner. She was considered to be very vile. She was considered to be very defiling. It appears that sin was her occupation. That sin was her livelihood. She no doubt had defiled many with her life and with her ways. And no doubt had been a grief and a heartache to the families of many. And when people would see her, and when people would talk of her, they wouldn't call her by name. They would just refer to her as that sinful woman. And everybody knew who they were talking about. A woman which was a sinner. She was a sinner. That is, she was marked as such. She was labeled as such. Everyone knew what she did. Everyone knew. Notice again, verse 39. If this man were a prophet, he would have known who she is. And he would have known what manner of woman this is. Everybody knows. Obviously, he doesn't know. Because if he knew, he would not allow this woman anywhere near him. This is the Pharisee. This is his thought process. Like all of us, outside the grace of God, this woman was doomed. That's true of all of us. It's true of everyone sitting here this evening. As a sinner, as all sinners, she was at enmity with God. She was a rebel against God. She was a child of wrath under the just condemnation of a holy and righteous God. But this woman, which was a sinner, obvious from the parable, had been forgiven of her sins before she entered the house. God had saved her soul. And when she entered the house that day, she did so with a personal realization of the fact that her sins were innumerable. She had a personal realization of the vileness of her sins, of the filthiness, the wretchedness of her sins. She realized that her innumerable and filthy sins were all contrary to God, were all against God, and were all acts of wicked rebellion and opposition against His person, against His will, against His holiness, and against His authority. She had a personal realization what she deserved as a sinner. She realized that each and every one of her sins, and they were innumerable, deserved the almighty wrath of God. She also knew what God's grace had done for her, that God had taken away her sins, that God had carried her sins out of sight, that they're no longer placed to her account. They've been blotted out. They've been put away. They've been removed. She has a personal realization that she's been delivered by the grace of God. She has a personal realization that she's been rescued from the curse of the hand of divine justice. She knows this. She had a personal realization that she had literally been plucked out of the fire. And that's true of all of us that are saved. She had a personal realization that she had been brought out from the life of sin, from the pit of sin, that she had been washed from the filth. She had a personal realization that she had been set free from the bondage and from the dominion of sin. She had a personal realization that she'd been taken off the broad road that leads to destruction and gloriously saved and made anew. This was all personally experienced by her. And it was a present reality to her. It was fresh in her mind. As a result, in verse 47, she loved much. She realized what she was. If you and I would only realize what we are as sinners, and realize the filth, and realize what God has done in forgiving us our innumerable sins. When we realize that, when we get a hold of that, when it gets a hold of us, we too will love much. This isn't a love that you have to work up. You just have to get hold of the fact of what you deserved as a sinner and what God has done in saving your soul. And realizing that, you can't help but love Him. She was conscious and mindful of the fact that she had been forgiven. And this inspired her spirit. We're not talking tonight about something that you can pass down from one generation to another. You can do that with your religion. We're talking about something that is the work of the Lord. You can't pass this on to someone else. This is something they must experience. Now notice the behavior of this woman. Back in verse 37, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. I'm sure the news was all over town. Jesus is in the house of Simon. But that news did not concern most and meant very little to most. But when this woman heard that Jesus was in the house of Simon, this woman who knew that she had been forgiven so much, and because she had been forgiven so much, she loved him so much, she went to the house, not to see Simon, not to see any of the other guests. She went to the house to see him, because Jesus was her redeemer. Jesus was her deliverer, her physician. He was her hope, her joy. And all she had to do was hear, Jesus is in the house of Simon. And she's in motion toward him. Why? Why? Because she had been taught such? No. Because she had been forgiven much. And because she had been forgiven much, she loved much. Which is another way of saying she was attracted to him. She was drawn to him. And when you and I realize that we have been forgiven much, more than we'll ever know, we love him and we find ourselves being drawn to him. Not only was she drawn to him, but as you read on, you see that her heart is overflowing with enthusiasm, with excitement, with passion, and yearning for him. It wasn't as if Simon or Jesus is in the house of Simon. Oh, well, I guess I should go see him. Well, she was enthused. She was drawn. She was drawn to him. There wasn't anything that could keep her from getting inside that house that day. When she got there, we see that she had a readiness to do something. You notice it says, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment, of perfume. This woman who knew that she had been forgiven much, she just wanted to be near to Jesus. How can you possibly know that your sins were innumerable, so filthy, every one of them against God, and he forgave you, frankly forgave you, without any strings attached. Knowing that, how can you not want to be near him? If you do not desire to be near him, you don't know that. You don't know that. Because if you knew the sins that have been forgiven, you want to be near him because you love him much. So she goes to the house. She just wants to be near him. Not only does she want to be near him, she wants to serve him. She wants to go there and express her love to him. I mean, just having an idea of the sins that we have been forgiven, how can we not want to express our love? to him. She just wanted to go and praise him. She just wanted to go and thank him. How can you not want to thank him? How can you forget to thank him? I mean, if we're really aware of what he has done, if we're really aware of the sins that we've been forgiven and what our sins deserve, how can we not thank him? And she just wanted to thank him. She's aware. He was a priority. It was one thing in her mind. Jesus. He was a priority. How can it even be a decision? How do you even have to think about it? This or Jesus? All you have to remember is that you're a sinner. You deserve hell. And he frankly forgave you. What's there to think about? What is there possibly to think about? Nothing. Jesus is to be our priority. And he will be. When we realize, I've been forgiven much. I've been spared. I've been plucked from the fire. And this was all in this woman's mind. This woman who knew she had been forgiven much. When she heard that Jesus was in the house, she didn't linger. She didn't hesitate. But with fervency of desire and with great joy and excitement, she grabbed the most precious thing to her, the most valuable thing she had, that alabaster box. Full of ointment. And she went to where Jesus was. And she wanted to be there. This woman, who knew that she had been forgiven much, she knew who Simon was. She obviously knew where he lived. She knew that he was a Pharisee. So she could assume that there would be other Pharisees there. In other words, that house would be filled with people who hated her. It would be filled with people who condemned her and shunned her. And she knew that when she went into that house, she would meet with frowns. She would meet with looks of disgust. There would be the critical words of the Pharisees. But her love for the one who was in that house, Jesus, she loved him so much. Why? Because she had been forgiven so much. And therefore, she was uninhibited. She went to that house without reservation. And she went in where Jesus was to honor him, to worship him. She had been forgiven much. And as a result, she loved much. And she wasn't going to let anybody or anything keep her from the one she loved. This is living the life of the much forgiven. We see also she took her place at the feet of Christ. She stood at his feet behind him. Remember, this is like a lounge. Jesus' head is facing the table. And she comes up behind him, not at his head, but at his feet. She takes her position. She had been forgiven much, and she loved much. In her heart and mind, at this very moment, it's not upon Simon, or any of the others that were at that table. Her heart and mind is not upon, well, what are they going to think? I know they're going to say something hurtful. No, her heart and mind is completely absorbed with Jesus Christ. She's taken up with him. And with great humbleness, she's at his feet. As she stands there, her emotions were stirred. She came to the house to express her thankfulness. She came to praise him and worship him for what he had done in her life. And we see in verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him, and she began to weep. She began to weep. Why is she weeping? I believe there's several reasons. She begins to think of the sin of her life. That every one of her sins were against him. Every one of them. That every one of her sins is filthy and vile. And that every one of her sins deserved the wrath of Almighty God. And she remembered what he'd done for her. And she wept. How can you not? And she wept. She was overcome. As she thought upon her sins, she wept. As she thought upon the one she sinned against, she wept. When she thought of his amazing love, his amazing grace and mercy that reached her in her sins, that reached her in her unworthy state, she wept. She wept and wept and wept and wept. And somewhere along the line when she was weeping, she realized that his feet had not been washed. And she realized, I can wash his feet with my tears. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, a courtesy that had not been shown to Jesus Christ. And then she did something that would have been considered shameful. She let down her hair and she began to dry his feet with her hair. And then it says that she kissed his feet over and over and over and over again. She kissed his feet. And then she opened that box. And it says that she anointed his feet with the ointment. So in praise, thanksgiving, adoration, love, honor, worship, she opened that box of perfume and poured it all out upon Christ. Simon, he's disgusted. He is disgusted with this woman's behavior. And Christ, knowing Simon's thoughts, said to him, Simon, she's so much unlike you. You failed to do all these things, but this woman. Simon, you're nothing like her. This woman who knew that she had been personally forgiven much And therefore she loved much. Jesus says, this is why, Simon. Remember that parable? She knows she's been forgiven much. And she loves much. Simon, this is why. This is why she came and stood at my feet. This is why she wept and wept and wept and washed my feet with her tears and dried my feet with her hair and opened the box and poured it all upon Christ. This is why, Peter or Simon. Because she knows she's been forgiven much. And she loves me. In other words, Simon, she's so much unlike you. You didn't show me any affection or courtesy. This is the life of the much forgiven. For you and I, they're saved. When we think of the fact, first of all, we need to think of the fact. Again, getting back to this morning, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to really get a hold of that. We need to really realize as much as we can what we were, what we are, and what we deserve. And then thinking about that, think upon the fact that Jesus Christ, for me, for you, stepped out of eternity into this sinful world. As I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know what I see him doing? I see him weaving me a robe of righteousness. His righteousness. Putting it all to my account. Considering the sinners that we are, see Jesus taking all of our sins upon himself and going to Calvary to pay our sin bill. Considering how much you've been forgiven, and we have no idea, we can't even begin to realize what we've been forgiven. We can't begin to comprehend the greatness of what God has done in saving our soul. But I sure like to think about it. And as we think about it, how can you not love him? How can you not love him? I'm sorry, but those who can think about those things and not fall in love with Christ, I don't think those things have happened to you. How can you not love him? When we think of the fact that Jesus paid it all, paid all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. When we realize that, when we realize that we're much forgiven, we'll love him much. And when we love him much, we'll find ourselves drawn to him. Do we fail? Yes, we do. Do we sin? Yes, we do. Do we sometimes get off track? Very many times. But I'm telling you, all you have to do is start to think what you deserve. Start to think what the Lord has done for you. And pretty soon you'll start thinking, I can't be away from him. I got to get back to him. I've got to be near him. You're drawn. You're drawn to Christ. All because of Jesus. Hell deserving sinners are on their way to heaven. I mean, we can't even begin to comprehend that. On my way to heaven. And it's all because of him. How can I not have the attitude that this woman has? How can we not desire to live the life of the much forgiven? Every now and then, perhaps more than that, you need to just stop and think. Without rejoicing in your sins or bragging about your sins, your past, you need to just stop and think what we've been forgiven. What we've been forgiven. And all the love, gratitude. He saved my soul. How can I not want to be where he is? How can I not want to serve? Again, if you're here lost tonight, that Jesus Christ is your only hope. There is no other hope. By the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. There is no other hope. But there is hope. But it's only in Jesus. He paid the sin debt. Trust in his righteousness. Flee from sin. Flee to him. Lay it all upon him. Live your life. Trust in Christ. That's all we're depending on today to get to heaven. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a member of Home Baptist Church. I guarantee you that there have been people who have been members of Home Baptist Church that are in hell right now. And I can say with some certainty, there are members of Home Baptist Church that unless the Lord saves them, they too will be in hell. Home Baptist Church won't save them. Hearing the gospel will not save your soul. You have to believe, you have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I place my hope in nothing else.
That's right.
It's all in Him. Nothing else. Absolutely nothing else. What are you trusting in today? Everybody here is trusting in something. You have a hope in something. It needs to be Jesus Christ. It's all fair.